pray for the leaders that we have in our country and our nation, that really that they would repent and come into a saving faith and knowledge in Jesus Christ, that we as individuals and as a nation would turn from evil and turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the welfare of this country. And as we see things, kind of the turmoil that's happening in our world today, it's interesting. We definitely live in interesting times. I just want to encourage each one of us as we kind of get an angst about what's happening in our world today and kind of ease that, because God is still in charge. Nothing catches him off guard. And that we would turn to his righteousness for that. And this morning, Lord, as we turn to your word and in Psalm 13, and again, it's a plea that goes out from David at this time, and it's probably a plea that many of us have either felt or literally said. And so we give you that praise this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, this morning we continue our study, and again, this summer, going through the summer months of Psalms, the Psalmy summer. And this morning I'm in Psalm 13. So if you turn with me and just would really appreciate if you just go along with me and see God's Word all at the same time, all together. And if you need a Bible, there's one in front of you. And if you don't have one of your own, talk to me afterwards. We will put one in your hand. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. How long, O Lord? You know, have you ever been in a bad situation? You know, everything seems to be mounting up against you, and you're wondering, how long will this last? You know, maybe it is an illness that you're going through. Maybe it's a loved one who is dying. Maybe it's a career that all of a sudden is cut short. Maybe it could be something just having a child that's just too strong-willed. You know, it doesn't matter really what it was, but the cry is the same. How long, O Lord? How long? In Psalm 13, when we read that and realize that this psalm here is the pleas that are coming from one of our Bible heroes. You know, King David, he's hiding and he cries out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Four times David cries out, how long? And they're powerful words, and they're powerful words, and they're coming from a man who had a relationship that many of us would desire to have, that kind of relationship with the Lord. And yet here David, he struggles with experiencing God's presence, and he does it through many difficult times in his life. You've been there, haven't you? You know, we try to make sense of rough times, and no sense seems to come from any of it, and in fact, it just comes up with a lot of silence, it seems like. You know, there's a saying, silence is golden. But when the silence seems to come from God, it doesn't seem very golden, does it? You know, it feels like you're just left out there hanging. And it's not that David was beginning to doubt the existence of God. He knew God existed. But he felt that when his cries go out, they're just bouncing off the ceiling, and that is somehow his heavenly Father has turned his back on him. And it seems as if the relationship between David and God had clouded over for him, and he felt alone and surrounded, and really surrounded by darkness. And we need to understand that you know, we aren't the first ones to experience that. You're not a terrible heathen. You might be, and I just don't know it yet, but you're not a terrible heathen. And you're not crazy. In Scripture, as we read through it, it's filled really with the cries of people that have gone through times like this. In Psalm 42:9, the psalmist wrote, "Why have you forgotten me?" Psalm 44:24, "Why do you hide your face and you forget our affliction and our oppression?" These are cries going out to the Lord. And we know many famous Bible characters who have suffered. You know, Elijah, he wanted to just die. In Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. Why? Because he cried a lot. Ezekiel, he endured the death of his wife during the time of his ministry. Daniel, and we talked about him before, he was taken from his family, shipped off to Babylon. Hosea, he was a man who just, he suffered patiently, really through a heartbreaking marriage. Amos, he faced lies and scorn all throughout his ministry. And all I've got to do is mention the name of Job, and we know that he cried out to God in his despair. Godly men who have suffered and they've questioned God. Now, sometimes when we're in those dark periods that of life and we don't believe that there's some way out, and it's in those times that, you know, the devil, he tries to deceive us. You know, John 10:10, the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. His only purpose is to wreak havoc. And he tries to deceive us into believing that that is the truth. And in spite of Jesus' great sacrifice, somehow God has abandoned us in all of this. And Satan, he fills our minds with thoughts that God is with everybody else, but not with us. But that's not true. God is with us, and he's with everybody else. And so David, we see here, he cries out, "How long? How long must I wrestle with these thoughts? How long will my enemies have triumph over me? How long must I just wallow in the muck and the mire and of all these confused emotions and thoughts?" And no matter how hard David struggles and he tries, he can't come up with a plan of escape. Have you ever felt them? Has that ever been you? You know, the thoughts that try to convince you that God no longer loves you, that you deserve all the terrible fate that you have, that he must be punishing you for something. Have you been there? You're emotionally bankrupt. You've got nothing left. There's nothing in that reserve tank to switch to. You feel like you can't do anything anymore. You're just limping along, and you somehow you just can't see a way out. And David knew that feeling. And in the midst of it, he calls out. In verse 3, it says, "Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death." Open my eyes. You know, we don't know what the immediate circumstances that David was under at this moment. We do know this much, that most of the stress that David experienced in his life came from people who were out to kill him. And perhaps that it was a threat to his life that was literally what was going on. Perhaps it's figurative. You know, the despair had grown to the point with David that he'd be quite happy just to see the end of life. Or he felt that maybe he was already dead. He's dead inside. He's a dead man walking. He doesn't have anything. There's no drive left, no passion, no action. It's just a damp, cold existence. Sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? Now, we can move really quick into verse 5 and just have a happy ending and tie a bow to it and be all done. But let's not do that. Because too oftentimes we can do the very same thing in church. We can skim past the struggles that people have in their life. We hurry up to patch things together, put a Band-Aid on that pain that person has. But we need to notice just in this passage that two-thirds of this psalm focuses on the struggle, and there's only one-third of this psalm that focuses on hope. How about you? Can you be at peace with someone who's just trying to put a Band-Aid over your deep wound? We kind of smile that cold smile, that cold Christian smile, and we just tell them, you know what, I'll pray for you. And the only time their name is even mentioned is when we pray that I thank God that I'm not in your shoes. And that may sound kind of cynical, but I've experienced that. I'm guilty of doing it. Most of the time, it can be just too easy to say, I'll pray for you, instead of getting our hands dirty with the pain that they're going through that seems to be kind of oozing out of them. And the call of the Christian life is to live in community, not isolation in that. This morning, as I walked out and talking to Garrett, he says, well, it's about that time. And Garrett's just expressing to me how wonderful it is to see everybody talking with one another, spending time with one another. And that's kind of that community. And I says, well, we're going to have to give you a different title then. We'll just call you the party pooper. But he's right. That's that part of that Christian community. The call is really for us to find those that are hurting and come to that person's aid to share really in their pain of that. Romans 12:15 reminds us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I was reminded of this when we went to visit my brother-in-law. Here he's dying of cancer, and the family, it just seems to be like a mere existence. There's no community for them. There's no church community. They don't necessarily seem to be interested in spiritual things. It's more rabbit foot ministry. Let's get it all in. Let's try everything possible but that type of thing. And it's like they were so absent of community is what they needed of the church. We're blessed. Truly, we are. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, because God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to what? Comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you understand what you have in that? That we can share with others. We have an amazing opportunity, church, to really be a beacon in the world. And this world, it truly is hurting, even in little Libby, Montana. And when we come alongside another person, whether that person is a Christian or a non-Christian, and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death with them, what we're doing is we're proclaiming Jesus Christ to them. Our love of Jesus, His love for us, and our victory over death. And as believers in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, we are a people of hope. And it's a hope that we have. The hope that we have, it's not in this world. You look at the news, it's pretty depressing. But we just need to go, you know what? It doesn't rest in that. Not in this world. We have a hope in a world to come. And it's a hope that's better, and it's better things are coming. And it's a hope that we've already secured, and we have the secured victory over death, and death will not defeat us. It's just going to be a momentary event in time. You know, and we often use an expression in today that, you know, we're alive today, we die tomorrow, when really the opposite's true. We're dying today. That's why we got all that perfume and smell good stuff, because we're just hiding the death. You know, one day we're going to be so fully alive and so vibrant, and that is in death. Do you have that kind of hope? Are you cultivating that kind of hope? You know, we get caught up in all of our problems, and whether those problems are real or imagined, and what happens is we forget God. But God wants us to admit our doubts. He wants us to acknowledge those fears. You know, the beauty, when you look at this psalm, this beauty of Psalm 13, and I'll say it's not just Psalm 13, there are others, is it is absolutely raw in its sincerity. And you got to love that about the Bible. I think to refute the Bible, refute people who discredit the Bible, is it doesn't gloss things over. I mean, if we wanted to convince people, we would just show them the good stuff. You know, it shows us the Bible is it's a book of honesty, and it actually records the complaints to God. We won't always sing psalms of thanksgiving. You know, at times we're going to feel worthless. We're going to feel pretty defeated. And the song's not always a song of praise. It might be a song of despair. Doom, despair, and agony on me. You know, it may not always carry some bold theme of having total confidence. It may be one that's a very somber theme, a theme of distrust and fear. Psalm 13, it started there out, and it starts out really depressing. And it's a somber tone, and it slowly develops that theme then, and it goes into confusion. We see doubt, and we see distress, and we see despair, and there's tension there just in that small psalm, and uneasiness. And then the chaos resolved, because all of those up through those first four verses is we see there's doubt, but then we see what is the reality. But I have trusted in you, in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know, the forgetfulness of God is contrasted by his unfailing love for us. That the pain and sorrow, they're comforted by a rejoicing heart. Death is defeated, and it's defeated by salvation. You know, all those who have come to a saving faith in Christ have salvation. We're saved. That ought to just give us one thing to rejoice in. You know, the enemies that rejoice, they can't hold a candle to the one who's dealt bountifully with me. You know, in the midst of David's despair here, suddenly it changes. You know, he says there, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. How is it then that there's this about face? You know, what led to this change of his thoughts? You know, had David's circumstances changed? As far as I can see, no. There's nothing has changed except David's faith and hope in a God who doesn't change. This week at camp, we're teaching the kids the word immutability. You know, a God who doesn't change. And David remembered, he has dealt bountifully with me. God is good to me. And so David, he stopped looking inward, and what he does is he starts looking upward. And that is a change of perspective. Sometimes we think of words like perception and perspective. They're not the same. You know, our perception of things can be pretty muddied and not have a right perception of something. It's our perspective. Sometimes we have to see it from somebody else's eyes. It might change the way we see them even. David, what he does is he looks back and he's able to see the many times that God had saved him. Can you look back and see those times in your life? And even though the situation, it was the same, his heart, it's now filled with joy. David has gone from what we read there, tears, to the truth, to triumph, all in that one passage. Brother, sister, when we find ourselves in times of despair, and we will, there's a couple things that we can really do to get out of it more quickly. And the first thing is, call on God. Do just as David did. He shouted out, scream it out. Let him know your pain. Because God is a big God. It's a song we sang at camp this past week. Our God is a great big God. Well, He is. Do you believe it? He holds us in His hand. He'd rather you cry out to Him than sit in a corner and just sulk and whine. And don't think for a moment that David wasn't crying out to God. You can do the very same thing. Let God know your pain. Let Him know your feelings. What is it that makes you feel so desperate? And when you pray like that, that becomes a prayer that it comes from the heart. And I know that God hears and He responds to that type of prayer over in Psalm 34, which is, you know, again, you know, all of these are so good. You can say, well, that's one of my favorites. Well, after a while, it's good. Well, they all are, you know. In Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And if you jump down there to verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, make it just a raw cry out to Him. The second thing that we can do is call on a brother or sister in Christ for help. Shelve that pride, whatever that is that's keeping you from things like that. Ask someone to pray for you. Ask someone to hold you. Ask someone just to sit with you. Or maybe just to listen to you. You know, the people in this church, and I'll just pick on you because you're here, is even in this church, sometimes all people need is just, can you just listen to me for a moment and let me just say things to you because I don't have anyone to say it to. You know, we got widows and widowers in this church body. Sometimes they just need to talk to somebody or just hear themselves talk to somebody. You know, you don't have to go through all the dark times in your life alone. You know, and being with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, you know, last month or a few weeks ago, it was a reminder of that. I hurt for them. I wish there was people that could go to them and do that. You know, the great aspect of Christianity that we have is that we're supposed to live in community with one another. And so grant someone that opportunity to help you in your time of need. There's so many people in this church that really want to bless others in the church. They just don't know because nobody tells them. You're not alone. You know, God is with you. You know, His word, He's told us that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. And if you're bold enough, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they desire to be with you too in that. And so it's okay to hurt. It's okay to feel desperate. It's okay to feel despair. But to know that we have a God who has been tempted in every way, He's been persecuted, and yet He was without sin. And next time you're hurting, call on Jesus. Call on He's the master physician. Call on the one who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father God, we do give you the praise and the glory and honor. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the church as a community and the individuals in this church. I thank you that they are people that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. Father, I pray that you continue to use them mightily, ministering to one another in the church body and ministering to those who don't know you as Lord and Savior in this world that we live in, right here in Libby, Montana. Father, we know that things are upside down and backwards in our world today, but Father, that this church and this church family can be a beacon of hope to this community. So Father, may each one of us give it all we got for your sake. And I ask this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.